This is our town.
Hi, Paul Barry here. Welcome to another episode of Everything at Limestone Coast podcast. And today we're talking a whole lot of sport. Peter Mitchell from the Mid-Southeast Football. Michael Summers from the Limestone Coast Football Netball League. How's your star guide going? Helen Hartley, noted astrologist, will have a chat about what's happening in the universe there. And we'll talk things around the Limestone Coast, what's happening locally with Troy Bell, the member for Mount Gambier. Let's kickstart the podcast for today. We'll talk astrology with Helen Hartley.
Look, this is really interesting. You know, the first thing I'd really like to share with your listeners is that, yes, there are some big planets out there doing some big things. But what people have to understand is that these things unfold very slowly at times. And I'm going to try and explain a little bit of how it works. So at the moment, we have Jupiter, which is about growth and expansion, and Uranus, which is about liberation and unexpected events. They are influencing Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, and Aquarius. Now, what is significant for Taurus is that from the 10th of May to the 14th of May, so those folks born between those dates, are actually going to experience this amazing conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus. So those folks are going to be experiencing a new phase of their life that will take 12 years to unfold. But the combination of Jupiter and Uranus begins a new, what we call, a synodic cycle. Now, what this means is Jupiter and Uranus come together, or symbolically come together in the sky. So it goes through this cycle of 13.81 years visiting each of the different signs. And in terms of society, it does represent the changing of the guard. Great information to have is how you work it as an individual. So with your listeners, have a look at what these influences are doing to their specific horoscope.
Taking from that, there is change on the way, particularly in the not too distant future.
Yes, and with the Tauruses, look, what I would say about the Tauruses, because as much as I love Taurus, I have two Taurus brothers, they are stubborn. And that would be the key word, and they don't like change. So if we look at the type of energy we're talking about, and we consider the basic characteristics of Taurians, they will resist. So my advice to them would be, look, just be open to what's going on around you and at least consider change, particularly the Jupiter and Uranus, because it's got growth and expansion, transformation, doing things differently type energy. And so if those stubborn Taurians, and even Aquarius can be stubborn, Scorpio and Leo, they can all be stubborn in their own way. But in particular with Taurus, they may find that it will feel like they're swimming a bit through treacle. That's how I would describe it. So you've got to kind of have your marathon shoes on.
If you resist, it will persist. I love that. So basically, Taurians listening in this morning, just go with the flow and lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, and look, also with the Taurus, start off your birthdays in a really lovely way because you've got Venus making a very quick contact to your sign. And I'd say celebrate in style because it sets the tone for the year. So do the social thing. Taurians love to eat.
And lighten up.
Well, they certainly, with a bit of food and drink, they will love it, you know.
Hey, thanks for your time this morning, giving us an insight into wonderful world of astrology and what's in store.
There absolutely is, and thank you very much, Paul. I look forward to the next time. This is our
town. Around the Limestone Coast, it's always fantastic to catch up with the member for Mount Gambier, Troy Bell. He joins me again this morning. Troy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning, listeners.
Always busy for you, Troy, and school maintenance is on the agenda this morning.
Yeah, I've gone and visited all our public schools and spoke to the principals about issues that they're having around the maintenance programs for our public schools. And really, there's an issue with the asset management, how it's being done by the state government, and we've had some outrageous prices being given that principals have no choice other than go through an approved provider. But, you know, things like $5,000 to clear a gutter or $60,000 to put a small fence through is just outrageous. And what happens then is that there's less money for other maintenance issues around the school, whether it's painting or carpet or toilets. That seems to be a big one, and that comes up from time to time. So I'm really asking the state government to give principals the authority for $100,000 to use local tradesmen, normally, you know, grandparents or parents of kids at schools, but really trying to get those restrictions off of our principals so that they can spend that money wisely and of course, we get a better outcome for our kids in our community.
Troy, do you think that some groups are intentionally trying to rip the schools off when it comes to charging these incredibly, you know, out there prices for a maintenance work?
Yeah, well, I've spoken to companies that do contract, and what seems to happen for me is that they put in their price, and it might be quite a reasonable price, but the organisation that overarches them and uses them as subcontract, they then put their bid on as well. And I haven't seen a breakdown yet of, you know, what the contractor charges versus what the overall asset management scheme charges. So it's a cost on a cost, as far as I can tell at this stage.
Okay, Troy, very interesting, mate. Look forward to hearing the outcomes of that. Again, thanks for your time. I know you're always busy, but let's catch up again real soon. We'll talk more around the Limestone Coast.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great day.
This is our town.
It's Everything Limestone Coast podcast this morning, and we're talking basketball from the Pioneers. Richard Hill joins me this morning. How'd it go, Richard? A big weekend.
Yeah, not a good one for us, Paul. We didn't play that well on Friday night. You know, we played sort of okay, but the opposition were just too good for us. They shot the lights out, and we struggled to stay in the game in the third quarter. Outside of that third quarter, we were pretty good, but yeah, across four quarters, they were too good for us.
Where do you go from here then, Hilly? What's the next step for you and the team?
Next step's to keep trying to get better. You know, like, we've been very, very inconsistent. Our record looks okay, 4-2 on paper, but like, it doesn't really reflect the, you know, our performances have been up and down, like, from quarter to quarter and, you know, game to game. So trying to be consistent, reasonably young group that's trying to work out how to fit together. Off on the road on the weekend, we're in Geelong on Saturday night, and then Bendigo on Sunday, early Sunday afternoon. So that's tough. That's a tough gig for both us and the women. Try and go and do that. They've set us a pretty hard task. So we've had to deal with it before, so we need to be well organised and hopefully in shape and ready to go.
Excellent. Well, we wish you all the best. At Geelong, always a tough game, and Bendigo, of course, as you mentioned, it doesn't get any easier. But, mate, we wish you all the very best.
Beauty, mate. Thanks for the call. You take care. Okay, cheers.
Richard Hill from the Pioneers.
This is our town.
Around the Limestone Coast with the Limestone Coast Football League, and Michael Summers joins us this morning to give us a wrap of the big weekend we had. And Michael, a very good morning to you first up.
Good morning, Paul. How are you today?
I'm well, Michael. Good to catch up again. And it all kicked off on the Anzac Day clash with North and South there. And some great games too over the weekend.
We had some really good football over the weekend for the Bendigo Bank Limestone Coast Football Netball League. All started off at Vanster Park there on Thursday for our traditional rivalry between North and South. It's always been a great spectacle, and no matter where the two teams are on the ladder, it's always a great game. And in the end, the young South side ran out victors by about 19 points. So, yeah, it was a very good spectacle of football from both sides.
And great games too as well after that as well, mate. Over the weekend, we had some good clashes.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and the next two games were on Saturday. They were down at McDonald Park, East hosting Cassidon there this week, Cassidon-Sanford. That was a good game too, pretty close. Both sides have got some good juniors coming through, so good spectacle for those watching. Cassidon ran out winners there. And then down at Millicent, we had Millicent taking on West Gambier. Western had a couple of injuries last week, so they were a bit depleted this week. So, but the class of Millicent shone out again, and and they ran away with victors. But guarantee that West will bounce back, and they'll be better for the run next week, and they'll get some players back, and they'll have another go.
Going hard at it. What about the player of the week this week, Mike?
Player of the week this week is our Anzac Day medalist, Mason Horn. He had a great game returning back to the Limestone Coast Football Netball League from a year away. So, yeah, it was really good to see Big Mace running around. And, give one to the big fellas. They were always getting lots of the footy. So, well done to Mason.
Okay, Mason. And what can we look forward to? The big clashes this week, Michael?
Yeah, we've got rounds again. So, yeah, it should be a good weekend. The game of the round, I think, this week will be the young Millicent, a young East Canberra side heading down to Millicent under lights. That should be a ripper spectacle. So anyone doing anything on a Saturday night, Millicent always, very good venue and a very good round of football this week. So get to the Limestone Coast Football Netball League and get around it.
Absolutely. Another big weekend coming up. Michael Summers, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Paul. Good on you.
This is our town.
Everything Limestone Coast podcast this week, and we're talking Mid-South East football. Peter Mitchell has all the news this morning. Peter, good morning to you.
Good morning, Paul, and good morning, listeners.
How was the weekend of footy action?
A really good weather again. I think everyone enjoyed the sunshine and the brisk autumn weather that we're having at the moment. Round three, really... We're right into it in the season now, and we're starting to see a little bit of settling down, I suppose, as to where teams are possibly going to end up and where they're going throughout the year. Obviously, the ones that are not having much success at the moment will be trying their best to improve and get better in the coming weeks, and those that are going quite well are probably hoping they'll stay that way for the rest of the year. But things will change, and kick it off. So for round three, Mount Burr 18-11-119 defeated Nangwari 5-10-40. In the goals for Mount Burr, Jack Gregory kicked 7. Nangwari, Andrew Highland and Joel Verton each kicked 2. Best for Mount Burr was Jack Gregory, and for Nangwari was George McWaters. In the next game I've got is Robe 15-18-108 defeated Kongerong 3 straight goals, 18 points. In the goals for Robe, the coach for Robe, Nathan Brown, with 8. And Kongerong had 3 single goal kickers. In the best for Robe was Nathan Brown. And for Kongerong, Tom Hunter. In another clash of the of two top sides, Haverley and Clangadoo, last year's grand finalists. And this time it was Haverley, 21-10-136, defeated Clangadoo, 13-6-84. In the goals for Haverley was Bradley Mitchell with 5 and Clangadoo Colin Gentile for 5. And the best was both those same boys. So for Haverley, Bradley Mitchell best, and for Clangadoo, Colin Gentile was the best. And the last game, the closest game, Glencoe 13-10-88 defeated Tantanola 10-11-71. In the goals for Glencoe, Alex Henske with 4 and Tantanola Hayden Brown with 4. The best for Glencoe was Matt Cordy, and for Tantanola was Jordan Hatt. And the player of the round we selected this week is Matt Cordy from Glencoe.
Terrific. Sounds fantastic, Peter. And some upcoming clashes. What do you think is the game of the round this week?
Yep. Let me have a bit of a look at my sheet here and see what we've got. So round four, the 4th of May, we've got, we'll have a couple of good ones here. Robe and Clangadoo will be a pretty good clash. Clangadoo yet to open their account, and Robe have been travelling pretty well and won their 3 games so far. And Mount Burr and Port Macdonald will be a really good game. Both sides are going quite well, and I suspect that'll be a terrific contest as well. And even Tantanola and Kongerong will be a pretty good game in itself as well. Two sides that haven't had a win yet, and they'll be both looking to open their account. So we're looking forward to another great week of footy next week.
Some real even battles there. Peter, thanks for your time this morning, and we'll talk all things Mid-South East footy next Monday.
No worries. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, listeners.
Everything Limestone Coast, talking KNT football. Round 3 wrapped up on the weekend. Kaibu Bowlite, a massive victory over Narracourt by 193 points, 204 to Narracourt, just 11. Border Districts went down to Lucendale. Lucendale 92, Border Districts 75, 17 points there. Bordertown 65, defeat of Mundala 63, a close win by 2 points. Pathway 75 over Panola 68, and Keith 110 defeating Kingston 36. Keith a big win by 74 points. K&T Netball round 3, Kybe 57 defeated Narracourt 52. Border Districts 30, defeating Lucendale just 28. Mundala too good for Bordertown, 51 to 27. Panola too good for Pathway, 77 to 43. And Keith 58, defeating Kingston 37. And in Mid-Southeast Netball, round 3 wrapped up. Klangadoo 57, defeated Hatherley 40. Robe too good for Kongerong, 72 44. Nangmori 19, went down to Mount Burr, too strong for 60. Nangmori 19 went down to Mount Burr, far too strong, 60. And Glencoe, 71, defeated Tandanora, 61. Wrapping up the sporting action with Limestone Coast Netball, round 2 wrapped up, and North Gambia 62 defeated South Gambia 37, East Gambia 43 defeating Casterton, Sanford 37, and West Gambia too strong defeating Middleton 44. This has been Everything Limestone Coast podcast for this week. Ewan is back next Monday.